Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome to Raven Radio on this 5th day of March 2008. Today, our guest is paranormal and historical romance author Marlee Matthews, and I am your host Michelle Pillow, and with me, as always, is Mandy Roth.
Hello.
Say hi, Mandy. Okay, you're like quiet. I was like, wait a minute.
I was laughing prior to the show, everybody.
You're there, right?
I started laughing really hard. I got a case of the giggles before we went live, so I just was, you know, covering my mouth with my
head.
Yeah, and I don't want to get, you know, ripped for laughing too much. Look, not catchy.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to be serious.
Let us not be jolly people.
Yes, let us not.
Anyway, listeners, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges may apply. For more information on using your computer to chat live with us during this broadcast and to ask us questions via the chat room, go to ravenhappyhour.com, follow the breadcrumbs for Raven Radio, and you'll get there. Or you can email questions directly to us for next week's show or future shows to ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com.
Yeah. There you have it. I'm sorry, I still have the giggle. I'm sorry, the show's so shot.
Great.
All right, so week in review. Did you have anything come up?
Not a whole lot. I've just been working. And well, I know that we had some reader questions, if Marlee's not on the line yet.
Yeah, she's not on.
I know, like, one of the huge questions I've had this week, for some reason, was, are there going to be more Naughty Cupid books? Just out of nowhere, a rush of them.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, yes, before I was thinking, no, they were done with the trilogy. But I've been thinking of that world again.
See, the way to get more books out of Michelle is just email her a lot about them, and she'll try to think up a way to go ahead and, you know, expand the world for you. See, it works every time. Pester
so
her.
Intimidating.
It pays off.
No, it was just one of those things that I had this vampire character in there, and people just wanted, you know, have been asking, are you going to do his story? And he had the shortest cameo in, like, book two.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
yeah. So now I've been thinking of him going, I did like that guy.
Do you notice that sometimes there's, like, a surge of emails about a book or books that have been out for a long time that maybe the email sort of died down on a little? And then all of a sudden, a bunch of people will...
That's what's so weird about this one is it came out in ebook trilogies, you know, over a couple years, and then it was, you know, published in print, but it's been out for a while.
Right.
And
I'm experiencing that with Gypsy Nights.
Yeah.
Been out for a while. It was in an anthology. It's a short story. It's been out in ebook for, like, I don't know, 3.5 years now, and it's been out in print for, like, over two. And the emails sort of died down on it for a little while, and then all of a sudden they flared up. I make it sound like a sickness. And and then a bunch of people have been emailing me wanting to know when the next Gypsy Nights is coming out. And
yeah,
I just thought, wow.
Dragon. Those have been going on for weeks.
Yeah.
Like, when are you going to do Lori?
Exactly. And the Demonic Desire. Well, actually, that's a newer one, Demonic Desire, so I can't really. But it just seems like there's been a surge of emails about, you know, are the friends like Chloe and Effie and Kale and Gunn, are they going to get stories? So I just thought it was kind of amusing, you know, because it seems like emails come in groups for books for me. I don't know if that works for you, but.
Yeah, that's strange. My other one this week, which was an older straight historical romance that didn't have a lot of buzz when it first came out. I mean, I'll admit it. You know, I think, I don't know, it was a combination of things, like the time it was released and stuff. But for some reason, I've gotten like a surge. People have found it. And that's Emerald Knight from Alois K. Or, not, sorry. My bad. Emerald Knight from New Concepts Publishing. And I've been getting emails for that this week, and it's really strange because it's been out there for a while. I guess it's a sleeper hit.
Yeah. No, it's that's actually my fault. I was on some groups, and I was like, everybody must read. And then, you know, I gave your home address, your personal number, your cell number. I was like, go for it, people.
And mystery solved.
They follow through. Mountain Captive 2, people. I've been begging for you guys to bugger about it. Come on. Do it for me.
Funny, I've got, like, yeah, the historicals, the straight historicals have gotten, like, a lot of just, like, they're my quiet fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're always so nice and polite when they email and, like, thank you for writing. And I love them. You know, they're great.
Yeah.
And then you've got the paranormal futuristic fans who get scary and are like, we will find you. I've
you
got
don't even know scary.
Crystal out right now.
You don't know scary, please.
I know. That's my.
I'm so proud of my fans.
Andy's level of scary. And,
they're
you know,
so great.
We're using that in all good fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. We love emails. We get them.
Cry away. Find us.
Yeah. And as long as there's nothing real personal in it, Michelle and I will often call each other and be like, I just got the greatest email. Like, I got the greatest comment. Somebody through MySpace, they dinged me and they said, you know, I want to thank you for doing what no one else has ever done, for getting me to read not only one book, but two. And they're not a reader. They're very proud of that fact, whatever. And then they had read Daughter Darkness and Enchantress and were waiting for Bellamia to come out. And I just thought that was the nicest thing to hear from someone who isn't really a reader to say, hey, listen, you got me reading.
Even the people, we get a lot of emails from people who aren't necessarily the romance genre readers.
Right, right.
Who
right.
stumbled on one of our books and like, I never read romance. And before I read you, I thought romance was blah, 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 insert.
Yeah.
Slightly demeaning insult here. And then they're like, but oh, my God, you changed my mind on it. And, God, we're sounding like
right.
we're praising ourselves a lot. But, you know,
yeah. We're just talking about some of the emails. We're doing loose because we don't have permission to actually say these people's names.
Yeah.
So you get the loose interpretation over of it. But, I mean, those are really fun. I don't think think readers and fans understand how much we do love hearing from them. I mean, I get tickled. It doesn't matter how many are in my books. I'm like, yay, and I'm reading every one. And it doesn't matter how long it is, how short it is. It's just nice to hear from them because it's
yeah.
really a solitary thing that we do. And you get a little lonely, you know, sitting here hacking away at the keyboard.
Yeah, the glamorous writer's life. A lot of people think, you know, it's jet setting and
oh, please, yeah.
so much freedom. It's like, yeah, I think I'm chained to
my computer. Trying to find my other slipper so I could just, like, peek out of the door to hurry up and grab the mail from the mailbox and get back in. So
before they saw you in your pajamas.
You know, I didn't care about that. It was just cold.
Yeah, it gets very solitary.
It does. It really does. It's a very it's very different, especially if you're used to working with other people in an office and everything else. And there's some days you think, oh, my God, I wish these people would just shut up and move backwards, you know. But you do kind of miss that when you're home without it all the time and there's no one there to talk to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, too, it doesn't encourage me to, like, want to get dressed or anything. I'm like, what? Why don't have anybody to get dressed for?
Yeah, I got dressed yesterday and nobody came
exactly.
by.
Exactly. I swear I dressed last week. I might still be in those same clothes.
I did my hair and I put makeup on for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think we're blowing it. No, really, it is glamorous. Jet setting.
Yeah, oh, my gosh, yeah.
Adventures.
If I like to fly a jet set.
All of it.
Yeah, I want to
we start do all
visiting.
The stuff in our books. See, we're seeing
I start
especially.
Visiting every place that we talk about in the books. That would be so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for that whole, like, me and the hell obsession. I, you know,
well,
I'm not
I guess
there.
We do visit it in our heads. Does that mean anything?
True.
Oh!
Marley?
I must be
yeah.
Marley.
Romper stomper. Okay. Hi, Marley. Welcome to Raven Radio.
Hi, Mandy and Michelle. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Now,
no,
for
no,
anyone who doesn't know who you are, can you just take a quick second to say who you are and what you do?
Yes, I'm Marley Matthews, and I write romance for New Concepts Publishing and mm-hmm. the Wild Rose Press.
Yes, and you probably did get dumped on with snow where you are, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes. I
yeah.
stormed last night and lots of snow during the night. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, we got hit with it, too. Yeah.
Oh, so.
Yeah, I'm across the lake from you guys, right on the edge.
Yeah, you're in New York, right?
No, I'm in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think above. I'm geographically challenged. I just know Canada's up.
Yeah,
you can throw you can hit a golf ball into the lake from where I'm sitting. So I just know you guys are that way.
Yes, you're across the border from us. Yeah, pretty
yeah.
close.
Yeah. Yes, but yes, it did. It came down hard, not out of nowhere. So. I was sweating. I'm like, I hope I have a phone line tomorrow. I really do.
And it's March and Easter at the end of the month, too.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, now I want to talk a little about your new release.
Okay.
Okay,
sure.
First and foremost, I love your cover.
Yes, I like
yes.
it. Alex DeShanks did a wonderful job.
Now, it's Doorway to the Stars? No. That's not your name, is it?
The Witch and the Wolf is the latest one.
Yeah, I get it.
And Doorway of the Stars, they came out pretty close. Doorway of the Stars came out December 13th of 2007, and The Witch and the Wolf just came out February 21st.
Now, I have not gotten a chance to read the newest one. I did read Doorway to the Stars, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, thank you.
And I had been swept up with the cover on that one, too. You've really lucked out with the cover situation. You really have.
Amber Moon did Doorway of the Stars, and Alex DeShanks did The Witch and the Wolf. So Doorway of the Stars is up on Erin Aislinn's homepage, actually, this week for being featured as cover of the week.
Oh.
Yes. And for the month of April, it will be featured so that you can vote with it and several other covers for the to see who will be book cover of the month. So.
Excellent.
And these are both out with new concepts, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Okay.
All right, now tell us a little bit about the Witch and the Wolf.
Okay. The Witch and the Wolf is a little bit different from Doorway of the Stars. It's a historical, and it's set during the Napoleonic Wars. Sorry. The wolf is a spy for England, and he's trying to take down Napoleon single-handedly. So it's a little bit interesting in that
and
regard.
And this one paranormal as well?
Yes, it's paranormal because the heroine is a witch. And she's French, English, and Scots.
Ooh,
so
fun.
She's a little bit of a mix.
Now, it takes place where?
It takes place partially in France, but mostly in England. The book starts off in France, but then we go to England for the rest of the book, and it ends in France. So we're skipping across the channel quite a bit.
Hey, I'm game for that. I love international heroes. I really do. You know, there's something about it not being the guy who could live next to me that makes it that much more appealing.
And, of course, they're both...
Okay, time for you to go home.
Yeah. Of course, they're both blue bloods, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. They both have quite high opinions of themselves.
Oh, that's the perfect name for me.
How did you get the idea for this?
The Witch and the Wolf, I got the idea for it a couple years ago, actually. It's been a book that's been in... that I've been writing for a little while because it's quite long. And it's longer, a lot longer than Doorway of the Stars. Doorway of the Stars is a novella. This one's, I think, epic length for NCP.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty long because it's got the historical side to it, but it's also got all of the fact that she's a witch. And her power, she can bend people's will to follow what she wants them to do. But when she comes in contact with him, she can't do that to him. So it throws her for a loop because she can't affect him in any way except when she uses her the magical amulet that's been in the family for generations. She has to use that to channel her magic in order to affect him because her magic doesn't affect him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And you said this was epic. Is it like part of a series? Are you going to continue on with the story?
I think that their story is done, but there's so many other different spies in his world that he works with that I could see it going on because
it sounds like a great premise that where readers would want more than one book.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? I'm half paying attention because I'm at NCP trying to go through to click through to buy it. I'm like, she's talking about it. I'm like, oh, French hero. I'm going over now.
Well, he's English. Yeah, he's English.
He's English. He's
totally English. Yes, he works for the king against Napoleon. Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I'm digging him already.
He's a marquess and his father's a duke. So, yes.
Now, have you always had like a love of history or is this something you researched heavy for or both or how did you
I think I've always been interested in history. I've always been fascinated with the era of the Napoleonic Wars, the Regency times, all that. Have you ever seen the TV show that was on little while ago, Sharp? With Sean Bean in it. So that's set during that time, during the wars with Napoleon.
She asked that, and I actually started to snicker to myself, going, TV, wait.
Yeah.
I'm well known for never watching TV. The one out of us who might have would be Michelle for you. She's pretty good with stuff and references, but I'm always out there thinking,
I don't know that I've seen that one. But
it's an English show, so maybe not. So.
Well, I have hope if it's on the BBC, because that's a channel I actually will watch sometimes. Yeah, there's hope for me yet, right?
So do you only write in the Regency, or do you write, like, medieval, earlier?
I have written in the earlier times, but I don't think I have, just going through all the books that I have out right now, none of them at the moment have medieval settings in them. But, yeah, in the future, probably.
I write if you could go back in time and live in that era, would you?
In the medieval times?
No, just Regency or the times that you write in.
In the Regency times, I think I'd go back as long as I was privileged, you know. You wouldn't want to live.
She has the safe cords on it like I do, Randy.
If I had servants and everything, you know, I'd go back. I wouldn't want to be the everyday person, though, at that point in time. I think that would be bad.
You know, I have multiple reasons why I wouldn't. Mine is, you know, one, my hair. They would never be able to tame it in that period. It would just be wild and crazy and stuck out at both sides. I would look like a freaking heretic.
And exactly. And no indoor plumbing.
Which would work for you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not opposed to popping a squat out in the yard, but I've got it. Yeah, I said that live. I've got
that
big issues with no DSL. I'm sorry.
No computers. What would you write with? You'd be stuck with that quill, right?
I cannot. Imagine handwriting a book.
I can't even read my own writing.
That would be very hard, I think, as accustomed as we are to using computers and as our word processors, to go back and write a book by hand. I don't know.
I can't even do a typewriter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Carolyn Ivey's laughing at us in the chat room, saying a mental image she didn't need. You know what I'm going to be quoting next week going, is popping a squat in the yard. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to move the topic just to save myself. Now, you said she's a witch.
Yes, she is.
What research did you do to, you know, bring that about for her?
Well, I just wrote her as a witch as the way that I would want her to be a witch. I didn't really base it on Wiccan, like a Wiccan witch or anything like that. She just has magical powers, and her mother had premonition, and she's got the ability to sort of influence how you think and what decisions you're going to make. But she's not really a witch that can snap her fingers like on Bewitched and conjure something. That's not her powers. She has to use her amethyst in order to do anything really. Her amulet, which is an emerald amulet. She has to use that in order to do anything really big. But her powers are fairly limited. So she's not a witch as in like the Samantha from Bewitched. She's not that kind of a witch.
Now, if anyone has questions for Marley, you can call it 646-595-3998. That's 646-595-3998. You can also go to Raven. I just forgot our damn website. Michelle, take it from here.
RavenHappyHour.com. Follow the breadcrumbs, and you'll get to the chat room. You can ask live chat questions there.
I'm running behind on the coffee intake. My apologies to everyone. Now, also, let's see, Doorway to the Stars. I'd like to talk a little bit about that with you and what it's about and all that good stuff.
Okay.
And you kind of went the other direction with this one, right, to futuristics.
Yes, it's set 3000 AD, so set quite far from here. And she's the heroine of this story. She has no magic. She's not a witch. She's nothing paranormal about her. She's just a veteran from a war that ravaged Earth. And during the book, you kind of find out that she was in the Civil War and she was on the right side, but the wrong side won. So as the fallout from this, she has to make a living. So she's started working for the Doorway to the Stars traveling system as a guide, which takes travelers from Earth to different planets and in one day. So you can book a time in between 2 and 4 p.m., go to another planet and come back. So, which is kind of cool. And, during one of these trips, her tour is hijacked, and she's taken by the hero who has decided that she's going to make a pretty good mate for him. So, it's a fun story.
Now, do you base your futuristic societies on anything? I mean, since you do historical research, I know I pull a lot from history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you base, like, your futuristic planets or societies on anything historical?
I think the Gaian Society is based on Celtic mythology to a certain extent. So a lot of the things that I mention in his world are sort of Celtic-based, like their art and stuff like that. But they're a totally different civilization from us. So it was fun to write about them. I had a lot of leeway in what I could create and everything.
Now, did you say this one was going to be part of a series as well? I love the
I've been asked.
Idea.
Yeah, people have said, you've got to make another Doorway to the Stars. book. And
big
I
fans
think
of
I will.
The series, if you didn't notice. We're big fans. I mean, when you get into a world, you fall in love with it. You just don't want to leave it.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
that was
you
our
don't.
Way of saying you are going to write more, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes, I think that as long as New Concepts will, yeah, I think it'll be a series, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have Enchanted Beauty
mm-hmm.
as
yes.
well. Now, what's that one?
It's with New Concepts Publishing. I haven't gotten a release date on that yet, but it should be coming out before July because Dragon's Heart's coming out in July. Mm-hmm. This one's totally set in another realm, the realm of where Thaliana is, and Thaliana is a county. In this made-up fairy tale world that I've created, and the heroine wants to be a witch, but she isn't. And in the world that she lives in, everybody, the magic kind, are like most of the population, and the ones that don't have magic are, well, like what, 20% of the population, and they sort of feel less than a citizen. To, mm-hmm. because they don't have magic, so and they're being invaded by another country that wants to get rid of anything that isn't magic. So they're sort of like, you know, getting they just whatever doesn't have magic, they want it out. Whereas in Thaliana, they live along in harmony together, the magic kind and the non-magic kind. So that's the whole book is based on that, and her trying to get the hero to help them because he's locked himself up in his castle and he wants nothing to do with the war.
Is he a magic?
He's a magic kind, yes. He's a wizard. He's a powerful wizard. And he's locked himself up in his castle because his adopted sister betrayed him to the enemy, so he's been ravaged by... He's been scarred, and he's got all these magical scars on him that can't be healed, so he doesn't want anybody to see him because he was quite fond of how handsome he was before. And just, you know, it's sort of like a Beauty and the Beast story, I guess.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, except for the fact that she's going blind because she tried to do a spell and it backfired in her face, so she's slowly losing her sight. And so... They both have to find each other. They both have to help each other find their way in the book. And it's quite, I think that their journey that they go on will be interesting for the reader because the ending is something that I don't think people will guess. It's not really a Beauty and the Beast ending.
Okay, I want them to be happily ever after in some form.
Oh, of course. All my things have happily ever after.
And I'm not a fan of, like, you know, they have to be happily ever after. These two, I'm like, no, they must be together. Tell me now, or I'm going to get
yes.
angry and hang up.
Yes, Malachi and Annabelle will be together at the end, of course. But they have
Excellent.
A few bumps in their road along the way.
Well, and a lot of your books seem to have, like, magical elements to them, you know, like The Witch or this one. if you could have a magical power, what would it be?
I don't know. I guess to move objects with your mind, that would be good. You know?
Oh, wouldn't
Mine
that,
was
though?
Always the point and clean.
Yeah, you don't need the rubber arm to get the kids in the back seat when you're driving they're being bad. You just think hard about it and then boom. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yes. Or if you just had enough magic to enchant the house to do whatever you wanted it to do and you wouldn't you know. That would be good too.
Self sterilizing. You know? That would be
self-cleaning house.
I want that. I'd wonder if it was doing a good enough job, though.
I don't know if you'd
go over and clean up after it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want the premonition thing because I think that would be a huge responsibility.
Yeah,
unless
it would be given to someone like me who would just be like, "I don't care." Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I forgot to tell you we're gonna die yesterday. Shoot.
Go see the winning lottery numbers, right?
You know, it's so funny because I don't play the lottery ever, and I don't know. I can't ever get behind wanting to play it because the odds are so stacked against you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if I had the numbers right in front of me, I'd entertain. I have to ask someone where you buy a ticket, but I would entertain it. I'm pathetic, I know. I know. Sometimes I peek out of my cave and go out in the real world, and it scares me, and I just come back. So.
Yeah. But that's why we write, right? So
exactly.
You can create the worlds that are perfect for you. So.
Exactly. Now,
it's a power complex.
Totally. I'm cleaning my own domain.
I control all of you.
Minions in my mind.
Mandy has books where the people are just worshiping her. That's it.
Yes, exactly.
It'll never be published. She reads it when she's lonely.
No, I'm going to ask, you know, some writing questions, like how long does it take you to write a book, and do you write every day, and all that good stuff, all that fun jazz.
Mm-hmm. I'm a pantster, so I don't I don't plot. Everybody always asks me, how do I do that? But I just, you know, I just basically sit down, and I try to do everything, something writing-related every single day. It varies on how much I'll write daily, but I try to get behind my laptop and write something on my story every single day until it's
finished. Now, for our non-author listeners, can you explain what a panster is?
A panster is basically when you sit down and you just write, and it's in your head, and you don't use outlines or anything like
you
that.
You go by the seat of your pants.
No
it.
Character notes. Yeah. Yeah. I basically... It's all there.
Yeah, I could see these wild rumors spreading about you after that one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She's and then they would have it all twisted around. It would be something else. By the time I got back, you'd be, like, cross-dressing
she
something or other.
Pants.
Oh, dear. No.
Yeah.
No.
She's a tailor. She makes pants.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I was on your Coming Soon page, and you have a lot of stuff that's coming out.
Yes, I do, both with Wild Rose and New Concepts.
What's your release schedule looking like? I mean, are these all coming out this year?
I think so. I would hope that they're all coming out in 2008, but...
Yeah, because I see, like, 5 books on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are they all finished, or are these things that you're still working on?
Nope, they're all finished. Everything that's contracted is finished.
Okay, now I'm just jealous. Stop it. Have you been writing a long time, or is this newer for you?
For about 10 years I've been writing, yeah.
Okay, now I'm just jealous again. Seriously, I'm going to mute her in, like, a minute.
So this is something that have, like, when you started writing, was it something you'd always wanted to be a writer, or were you more like Mandy and had, like, secret dreams of being a pretty, pretty princess ballerina?
No, never a pretty, pretty princess ballerina. No, I always had, I always thought that I'd go into some sort of, writing, journalism. Acting was a dream at one point in time, but that really didn't become a reality. But yeah, I've always been into the arts. So I had to do something writing related, and this is perfect.
You grow up with a big interest in the paranormal, the supernatural, the magical, all that, or?
Yeah, I've always been interested in ghosts and psychics and witches and
What is your favorite paranormal creature?
I would have to say unicorn. I think the unicorns, they're a mythological, magical creature that doesn't get explored quite enough. And I've written a dragon shifter book, but in one of my upcoming projects, I want to write about a unicorn shifter. So, yeah.
I think I've seen one of those.
I was about
before.
To ask you if you've done any books with unicorns in them.
Yes. They do. There's unicorns in Enchanted Beauty, but they're just, I don't think they really show up in the book as an active creature. Dragon's Heart has winged unicorns, which I call in the book Pegasuses. So, yeah, they're in Dragon's Heart at one point in time, which is weird because it's a dragon-shifting romance, but at one point all the magical creatures have to unite in order to fight against the darkness that has invaded Earth, so they're there, which was fun to write. So,
yeah, because I don't think we've discussed unicorns on the show yet.
Mm.
That was a very interesting answer. Do you read a lot to, like, the actual myths of the unicorn that are out there, or do you build your own world myth with that?
I think that if I was going to write something, I'd have to build my own world about the unicorns, because the mythology that a lot of people learn about is how they're objects of purity, and that only the pure of heart can touch them, and things like that. So if I was going to put them in a book where they'd come into contact with different people, I think I'd have to tweak that mythology a little bit, but basically keep it the same. Like, I couldn't have an evil unicorn in it. I think that would just be a contradiction of terms, the way that everybody always thinks of the unicorn as this pure object of great magical power.
I don't know, mm-hmm. though. That could be a fun character.
I thought it sounded fun, yeah.
Yeah. Like, go for it.
Yeah. Look at Eminem encourage her to corrupt things. There we go. Yeah.
You don't need the pure unicorn. Go for the evil.
ooh, make him black. Come on. They always have the black hat in the Westerns when they're bad. Come
on.
White unicorn, good guy.
Mm-hmm. Black unicorn, bad guy?
I don't know, but
great.
If he shifts into a hella hunk with long black hair, can the heroine be named Mandy?
Oh.
No, she already promised it to me off list.
Hey, I'm not above begging, okay?
I'm not above bribing.
Oh.
She's like, okay, today the M&Ms have come out to play. Oh, look at the time. Gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we had planned to kind of discuss some off the wall, just, you know, things at random that we're going to do today. You're welcome to stay on with us for a little bit if you'd like. And we know that, you know, your schedule time's up, and I don't know if you have anything planned or not, but you're welcome to stay on with us. It's totally up to you.
If you're asking me to stay, I'm totally open to staying.
Oh, good, because I was going to yell at you and make you stay, but I went with that real nice approach, and it worked.
No. You asked me so politely. How can I refuse?
So write that down. I was nice, and somebody acknowledged it. Now, I think, Michelle, did you have some stuff you're going to start off on like crop circles in the outer?
Yeah, for some reason I got into a crop circle kick, not that I needed it for anything, of course. Real quick, though, I wanted to give the listeners Marley's
yes.
email address, and can you give them your email, or not email,
your
website
address. My website is www.marleymatthews.com, Matthews with one T in it, so...
Okay.
And I noticed that you have like a lot of links on your blog, or on your website too. Like
my website will take you to my author group, my MySpace, and my author blog. So,
okay.
So the website's the one-stop destination.
Yeah, which is always nice. I love it when people do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't
try to keep it organized.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like it when I go to a website and I have to look for things.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
I want it all there in one place.
So that was MarleyMatthews.com. Be sure to go check her out and check out her books. Go get Doorway to the Stars.
Yes.
And then
I am.
Her.
I'm waiting to be able to concentrate to put my credit card number in because I'll just screw it up if I'm talking at the same time. So.
Yeah, you'll be charging my card. Not
exactly.
Mine.
That's even better. Good idea. I'm going to do that.
Why did I buy Mandy $500 worth of books?
Because you love me and my birthday was Monday, so you have to love me more? Yes.
I already got you a present, and I already kidnapped your blog.
I know. She did. She blognapped me, Marley. Did you notice that?
Oh, no.
Yes, she did. I went over, and there was a Wizard of Oz theme blognapping.
Oh, well.
She
at least it keeps your life interesting.
It's your fault for leaving me on there. I can't take the power. You know that.
True. I'm going to have to revoke your administrative privileges. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
So, yes, crop circles.
I was going to say that I love that, putting back the spice in your bedroom series that you did, those videos. If you're over 18, which you should be if you're listening to us,
yes,
go over and check it out. They're hilarious. Anyway,
yeah, they're
yeah,
on my blog, which is linkable through my site, mandyroth.com. And you go over and just you go down and it's Spice Up Your Life. It's listed under. And there's some YouTube videos that, like, some actors did. And, I mean, it's total skit comedy. And it was on there. And they did such a good job with this. You're introduced to the man standing there in a vest in, like, an elephant song type thing. And that's all he's wearing. And he's got a toy with him. And he and his wife are in a heavy discussion about spicing up their sex life. And they had gone to a sex therapist, and she suggested the role-playing and this and that. And it's just a really funny, semi-realistic, yet out-there approach to trying to incorporate these things that you'll sometimes read about in an erotic novel. Yeah.
But it was not porn.
No, it's not porn at all. It's just, I think, Saturday Night Live discussing, like, you know, spicing up your sex life.
Couples therapy.
Couple therapy, yep.
Anyway, crop circles, because we promised.
Yes.
Or Mandy promised for us earlier.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with crop circles. They've watched the movie Signs. They've, you know, have seen some example of it. But actually, if you go out there into, you know, internet world, you'll find these intricate patterns that people do.
Circles. Yeah, it looks like a patchwork quilt when you go to these sites.
Yeah. Basically, crop circles are patterns that appear in fields. The it's created when the crops are trampled down, but others are, like, left intact. So it's kind of like an embossment on the field. They're usually huge and designed to where they can be seen easily from the air. the edges are so clean that it looks like it was created with a machine. And even though, like, the stocks are bent down, and they usually happen over the course of one night, and even though the stocks are bent down, they're not damaged, and a lot of times these crops continue to grow. So it's not like people are going out and trampling some farmer's field. Of course, the most common thing that people think that have made these are, you know, the alien is the most common mythology out there. Or, you know, if you believe it, then non-mythology out there.
What would they be then? Would they be road signs? Like, turn left here. I don't know. What would they be? People are going to be emailing me mad that I said
cool.
that.
Yeah. Maybe it's like their calling card, I've been here.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think of them, Marley? Do you think that these are, you know, alien, or do you think these are, you know,
I don't
human?
Know. I don't know. I'm going to say no comment.
No comment.
No comment. I don't know. It's
yeah.
an interesting topic, though.
Yeah, most of them, some of them, the earliest mentions of them were, like, back to the 1500s.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the 17th century, there's these woodcuts of, you know, creatures making the, you know, like the devil making crop circles. And
mm-hmm.
They called the creature, like, the mowing devil, which I guess would be appropriate. Then, they, you know, the mention of them was kind of sporadic. And then in the 20th century, they began appearing a lot in, like, the 60s and 70s. And most of them, I believe, are in southern England. And then by the 90s, they became a tourist attraction. And more than, like, 500 of them emerged in, like, the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking road trip, boat trip. Okay, let's fly.
Yeah. I have a weird take on them. I think with the long history of them, there's definitely something there that's bizarre and unexplainable. But I think a hefty dose of them that are found now are probably man-made.
And
you know, people trying
to
do the coffee cat crop circling. You know?
They are man-made. If you go to circlemakers.com, you'll see how these guys do it. You'll see some of the things they've done. Companies are paying people to go out there and do crop circles of, like, their business logo.
Yeah.
I think there was, like, a Hello Kitty one.
Sorry, farmers, we're going to take over your land to, yeah, Hello Kitty you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they're very intricate designs. I mean, they look like perfect circles, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, you're amazed by the talent of these artists who do it. But, yeah, the theories are that it's UFOs or aliens who come by and do them. And they, you know, it's imprints left by their landing spaceship. So, obviously, the aliens love Hello Kitty.
Yes. if anyone out there has a take on it, you can call in 646-595-3998 and share it with us, or hop on and let us know on the chat room. That's 646-595-3998. But, yeah, I don't know. I think with the huge hit room, it's definitely questionable way back when, because what did they gain, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, if they went back, you said they went back to the medieval, they've gone back,
so like the 1500s.
Back to 1500s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, maybe
I would think
it,
it was
fairies.
The hand of the devil.
Blame
yeah,
it on malicious fairies, right?
They get blamed for everything. Those poor fairies.
And fairy circles. Why not crop circles?
Exactly. You know what? And you mentioned the mowing devil. I'm curious where to get him if he hires out and does he spray for weeds, because I need someone. So.
Yeah, my lawn needs mowed.
Yeah, exactly. And I would, you know, I'm fine with whatever design you want to make out there. I don't really care.
Yeah, just make sure the city doesn't get mad at us.
Yeah.
Let's see, the other theories were aliens, of course, is the most interesting, you know, and thought-provoking one. You've got wind, downdraft from, like, airplanes or helicopters. Some people believe earth energy, that earth kind of creates its own energy that forms these circles, and it's like a form of radiation, and that scientists have measured strong magnetic fields inside the crop circles. And then there's, of course, the humans, that they're, most of them are like man-made hoaxes, is what mm-hmm. people believe. And they,
I don't know, I think we've become so jaded. I'm one of those people that I want to, you know, I'm pretty sure it's humans, whatever, and then the off chance it's not, I'm like, gee, I just dismissed everything, and look, now the mothership's here. That'll show me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've talked about that before, how technology has kind of ruined some of the superstitions and stuff of society.
Right.
But they've got these, like, stock stompers and stuff, like these tools that people actually use. And they had a program on where they showed how they make this crop circle, and it was a really intricate design that they had done.
And I can't get away from, like, thinking, you know how you, like, you tag a train or you tag, like, a building with your spray paint and everything else? It's like a whole new level of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of these are, like, 200 feet by 200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine getting all that done in one night.
I can't organize
secret.
The men in my house to clean up, let alone go out and form a crop circle in 12 hours. I mean, come on.
I don't have the dedication to do that because I'm like, it's just got to grow out.
So now, are there anything, you know, in your area or neck of the woods that is superstitious or, you know, rumors or this or any haunted locations or anything, Marley? Is there anything there that kind of sticks out?
Haunted houses, I guess. Mm-hmm. In my area, there's always been this, it's a mansion, and there's always been this myth that it's haunted. And it was owned in the 1800s, by a very wealthy family. And one of the ghosts in there is reputed to be one of the daughter's fiancés. And on the night of their engagement ball, he was going to the engagement ball on horseback, and he died. But he'd promised her earlier that he would dance with her at midnight. And he did dance with her at midnight. The only problem is, when they found his body, the gold watch that he was wearing had stopped at, I think it was 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. So they knew that he had died at 8 p.m. that night. And when he danced with her at midnight, it was reputedly his ghost. So he didn't want to break that promise.
Oh, I want a man like that.
It's a very romantic story gets told to us when, you know, I learned about it when I was school age.
Now, is someone living in the house currently, or is this one of those, like, abandoned?
It's a house that's a heritage home now.
Okay. Yeah.
Put on tour and things like that. So there's always, I think they say that there's more ghosts in the house than just him, but he's supposed to be one of the ghosts that's in there. So it's a very romantic story.
yeah.
So that's the kind of love you want to have, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He makes a promise, and he's going to get there, even if he's not in his physical form.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if you dressed in period dress and went there and, you know, stood in the ballroom or wherever at midnight, if he would come and dance with you.
I don't know.
You're like, no. You're not my love.
I've heard the place is a little scary at night. So
yeah.
I don't know if you'd want to be there.
I'll take the TAPS team with me. I'm trying to get a job with them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Michelle, are there any things in your neck of the woods that are, you know, people speculate about? Or?
Well, most of ours are kind of like the, you know, I think every area kind of has their own little local ghost stories. Mm-hmm. We have, like, this bridge that's reputed to be haunted. It's a mother was running away from... Oh, there's different stories, Civil War soldiers, and she was, you know, Native American, or she was, you know, running away from people, and she had a child with her, and, you know, she threw the child in the river to save it, she threw the child in the river to kill it, there are a bunch of things, but supposedly she was beheaded at this bridge, and she now haunts it, and if you go there at night and say her name and say that you have her baby, that she'll come after you. It's kind of one of those... almost Bloody Mary tales.
I was just thinking that. It's very Bloody Mary-like, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
That's a scary story.
Yeah. Yeah, we have...
You know,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, just growing up, we've had people, you know, who claim that they really did see them. But it's also a drunken favorite pastime sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
When you have nothing better to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you send a bunch of country people out with a bunch of beer to a reputedly haunted place, and they'll see all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have an area, a big stretch of land that's, you know, partially wooded and really set back in, that at one point had been an orphanage way back when. And
are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Mandy? She just cut out.
Oh, no.
She muted herself. That's okay. We'll go on without her. It's all right. I know another kind of haunted story around this area is we have, like, you know, an old, I think, nunnery that's
mm-hmm.
reputed to be haunted. And
oh, goodness.
I don't know. I think, I'm not sure if it's, like, all those old buildings I mean, I think there might be something to it. It just looks creepy and kind of feels creepy, so you expect something to be there.
Do you watch those ghost hunting shows? Or?
Yes, that's the TAPS, Teamed as the Ghost Hunters. I'm addicted. I'm begging them for a job. Just on air, though. I haven't, like, harassed them in writing yet.
Oh, okay. Up here we have the rescue mediums that I watch whenever they're on. They're interesting. They go to different people's homes, and they supposedly cleanse the house of unwanted spirits. So,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Ghost Hunters.
I'm really sorry about that. I'm back. There was like tremendous pounding, and just someone's going to help themselves right in here. So I'm sorry. I'm back. I dealt with it. Okay.
You're under siege
by
zombies.
I took my phone with me on mute, threatening lives.
Oh, gosh.
Don't start with me. I'm on air. Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry about that. Sorry if I missed anything.
Oh, we were just talking about how some of these old places, like we have a reputed nunnery that's haunted, that a lot of these old buildings kind of feel like, you know, are they really haunted or do you just expect them to be haunted?
Right.
Or do they just, or is there such a thing as like a psychic echo in a building? Like,
right.
Yeah.
I was start telling you about the orphanage place, that it's now just land. It's no longer there. But, you know, depending on who tells you the story, like Michelle said, it does change. There was a thing where the owners burned it down with the children in it. There was a thing where it just burned down, and it was an accident, and everybody died, owners included. It may have burned down, but no kids were in it. You know what I mean? It goes on and on and on. Anyways, there used to be an orphanage there. There was a fire. I don't know what place built down, whatever. But the stories behind it are, if you're out there at night and everything else, that you'll hear children laughing and very Blair Witch-like with the little fingerprints and footprints in the, and just kind of that disturbing, oppressive feel. Not a jolly, hey, the kids are happy, blah, blah, blah. It's very kind of scary. I mean, a lot of you, and this goes back a long time. I remember my mom even telling me when she was in high school that they would go out there and hang out, and she's like, oh, my gosh, you know, and she kept telling me, you never want to go out there because she was a firm believer something was out there. But, I mean, it's the stories like that, that, you know, they evolve and it changes. And I think if you actually look back in history, I think it couldn't be that way. I think if you actually look at the events, but it doesn't change the fact that, I don't know. I don't know if it's mind over matter. People go out and they hear the story enough, so they believe it. And yeah, we have lots of places like that.
When you're walking in the dark, it's kind of easy to spook yourself out. You see shadows. You see clouds going over the moon, shifts of light, animals, drunken teenagers.
I'm by the islands here, too, in the lake, and there's a lot of stories about, especially the cemeteries there, because of the Civil War. And there was a prison camp on one of them, where, you know, prisoners of war were held and during the Civil War period, and there's a whole lot of stuff about it. And I remember our class going on a field trip out there, and we spent the night, which was unheard of. I mean, now they don't take your kids and stay the night anywhere, you know, but back then they did. And I remember the lights flicker there. I don't know why. I didn't care why. And I was with 12 other girls in, like, a bunker thing. We didn't care why. Can you imagine the sound of the screams coming from us? Seriously. We were, like, all standing outside then, and somebody tripped and broke a lamp, which only added to the, you know, thought in our mind that we were going to be killed and slaughtered by, you know, soldiers
if
that we couldn't.
Was there, I think that many screaming girls probably scared us away.
And funny enough, I did point that out, because I've been, you know, jaded and cynical from a very early age. I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure we scared it. But no, I mean, and that's just, it's part of the fun, and I don't know about you guys, but I try to bring a little tiny bit of where I'm at and where I've lived and where I've gone and the people I know. I try to bring a little tiny bit into that and all that I do because it's just me paying homage to that. If you know, I don't know if you guys do that at all. Or
with my writing, I think I do. Dragon's Heart has a little – I've been to Tewkesbury in the Cotswolds in England. And so when they come into our world, that's I based it there. And I think if you read the book, you can probably tell that I've used a little bit of what I – learned when I was there about Tewkesbury and Tewkesbury Abbey, which is reputedly very haunted. So, yeah, I used that in the book, and it was fun.
Yeah. I think it's fun, too, to give peeks, you know, because you know.
Yeah.
And
I think that using your own experiences in some of your writing when you can is a good thing, even if it's a futuristic something.
Right.
Of yourself is probably in your writing somewhere.
Right. It makes it, I think, personally makes it a little more real, even if it's just to you. And if that helps it make it more real there, then everywhere else is helping, too. You do it, Michelle? Do you ever, add in a little?
I bring elements of myself into the books. I think every writer does that to some extent. I won't base characters off of people I know. I just can't do it because then I start thinking of that person instead of the character.
Yeah.
But I'm sure some of their traits will kind of slip in unintentionally.
Right. I have I've taken like a lot of people I know that have passed away that were my friends and close to me and that, and I've blended them into like, you know, you're taking 12 people and making them one.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before in a book to just sort of, that was, you know, that was me paying tribute to them.
That's interesting.
You know, things like that. But I've never actually taken, well, I don't know. You know, I lied. My grandmother, who is still very much alive, she is something else. She calls everybody shorty, can't remember anyone's name. She's, you know, barely 5 foot, and that woman has you under her thumb. It doesn't matter how big of a man you are. If she says something, you obey. You know, the little Italian grandma. And I did in Daughter of Darkness, Nana, Ken's grandmother, who's in the book, is based off of my grandma. That's the one and only time I've done something, you know, based off of a person. So I just couldn't not. I love my grandma to death, and I just wanted her to be immortalized forever like that. So I think she gets a big kick out of it, although I don't think she's going to ever actually read that because I don't think she's really into the dark. Yeah, but you know what? I'm just saying this. I told my grandma, I'm like, well, it's really sexy. She goes, I don't mind. I'm like, ah, la, la, la.
Okay, so, grandma, love you. Bye.
Exactly. I don't ever want to know that. But no, I have. I did that to her, but... I'm the one who will take, like, people that I've lost and, like, blend them into a huge thing and, you know, borrow from them and, you know, take little pieces and then they make a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just my way of kind of, like, you know, I guess immortalizing them is the best way to put it. Not that my books are going to be around forever, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, you never know.
Hell, I'm surprised anybody buys them while on them lasting. They have longevity? Stop it.
I think one of my favorite things that I bring into it is just being able to do the research. It's one of the reasons I love being a writer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love researching different topics, whether that's, you know, going somewhere and, you know, seeing something. I've done a lot of books where, you know, I love to travel, and I've been all over the U.S. I mean, took a three... Like
people, she has a map that she
trip.
Fills in. She has a map. She colors in places she's been. I've been on the phone with her. She's like, I'm rounding the tip of Georgia. I'm marking it off. She drove in the car. Yeah, and this is when she's supposed to be coming to me, which I'm nowhere near Georgia, but she took a detour just to get some more states filled in.
Not just to do that. I love traveling. I love seeing the U.S. It was my very Travels with Charlie Steinbeck moment, so leave me alone.
I'm very, like, I want to just get there and get back, and you know, if I plan the trip to travel, then I get there and I have my itinerary. I'm so anal.
We are 1 minute behind schedule.
I plan to plan, yeah. Now, Marley, do you obviously you do a lot of traveling because you've mentioned you've been
mm-hmm.
to places.
Yeah,
now, how often do you take off and go?
Not as often anymore, but yeah, I used to travel quite a little bit. Now I think I travel in my stories.
Hey, that works too.
Yeah.
And it usually costs less. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
And you don't lose your baggage. So that's good.
No. That's always a bad thing when they do that.
Yeah. I was so afraid of that my first time flying. I had heard all these horror, and I had like a list of horror stories.
Mm-hmm.
First it started off with the obvious, I'm going to plummet to my death. And then it worked down, you know, later, I'm going to get lost. I'm not going to make the right terminal. Finally, my husband took pity on me. Yeah, my husband took pity on me, and he actually flew out with me.
Oh.
Yeah, because he was like, forget it. If I'm lucky enough to get you on the plane, I'm not going to get you on the return flight home. Nobody out there is going to have the nerve to shove you on. Okay, Carolyn Ivy in the chat room says, I've got a friend who calls me when she's on the road. I ask her where she is, and she says, I don't know. I just go where my tom-tom tells me.
We were talking about those things.
Yeah, now do you have a GPS?
My husband... Oh, go ahead.
I was asking Marla if she has the little GPS thing that tells you where to go in the car.
No.
Yeah, we have
Maybe we should have one.
I can't find my way, seriously, around my own town I've lived in all my life. And, you know, I'm pathetic. So he needs to tell me how to get around the block.
Oh,
but
no.
I nicknamed him Steve because it's a male voice and it'll be like recalculating route. I always turn wrong. He'll say turn left and suddenly I'm totally... unable to figure out my left or my right.
It's because you don't take directions well. You're like, I don't want to be told what to do.
Not from a man.
It's natural instinct to go the other way. It's going to get me lost.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Carolyn goes right turn in 0.3 miles. Ding. in about 200 yards, prepare to turn left. I'm like, shit, what's 200 yards?
By the time you calculate it, you're past the turn.
Exactly.
My husband has one. We call her Susie. I don't know why everybody names these things, but I swear she has it out for me. She tries to keep recalculating and running me over this bridge that did not exist. She is, yeah, sent me off in two strange directions.
Yep. Well, being right on top of the lake, they don't tend to understand addresses that are right there. I mean, like, on the water here. So it'll always, like, point me into the water on the little map. It's like, go into the... I'm like, it's trying to kill me. It's trying to get me to drive off of...
It has a vendetta against you.
I think because my husband bought it for me, he was looking all sweet and innocent, but I really think that's his way to off me.
Oh, dear.
He can't do it face-to-face, and, you know, I'm too light of a sleeper to smother in the middle of the night, so his only recourse.
I'm waiting for mine to go, fine, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to talk.
I know, I'm waiting for the you're too stupid woman, so I'm not going to recalculate this route.
If you don't know what a yard is, right?
Exactly.
Why say it?
There's probably like a different setting that you could use, maybe.
Carolyn says she's nicknamed her GPS Father Perry, or Power Perv, I'm sorry. Do I even want to know? Is that making passes at you in the car? Turn left and, well, take off your blouse.
You keep trying to drive her to the strip clubs.
Exactly. Well, that's probably, you know, I don't need any help getting to those. I automatically can.
More questions that we needed to get to.
Okay.
Just because I'm hoping that this will calm down my inbox a little bit. I know you've got these too. We've been getting questions from reviewers on our books, like how they can get review books. Usually it's a specific title for their site or their
company. I'm thinking this applies to Marley too because she writes for the same pub we do.
Yeah. Wow. I've gotten a lot of New Concepts ones lately and how they can do the review books. And the simple question is, you can either, you know, email us and we'll pass the email on to where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know personally, like Mandy and my companies, and I guess Marley, since I'm not sure with Wild Road Press, but New Concepts, they do have somebody who sends out reviews. So if you email the company and tell them that you want to be put onto the list.
The
auto review send? Books,
yeah,
the auto send list. Thank you. They'll be happy to do that. And
should that not happen in a timely manner, don't hesitate to go ahead and, you know, after you've waited a little bit, to go ahead and email us and just ask again. We'll make sure it's sent one more time because it's a lot easier for all of us if they're doing it and sending it out and keeping track of it and that than us. But we won't hesitate in the end to get it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we know, too, if you set up, like, a relationship, I know, like, I'm going to use Joy from Joyfully Reviewed. She dings me and says, listen, I didn't get this yet. I've got a reviewer lined up. That's, you know, I know that. And I don't hesitate to get it over to her to get reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you give them your company and your website address and who you're reviewing for and all the credentials, because they're not just going to send review copies to anyone off the street. Because
yeah,
you know,
we've got
you got
a problem and it's
going,
different. Yeah, just tell us
I
where
want
you're from.
To review this.
I'm going to try that, though. I'm going to try that with some, like, authors I love and be like, hi, I like to read. Can I review your book? And, yeah, they're going to be like, no.
I'll stick it on my blog.
You don't know what a yard is, dumbass.
Yeah, I'd try it if it worked. I'd have already been doing it.
Yeah.
But the other question we get is from, well, I don't know if you have lately, but for some reason I'm getting a rush, and I think it's because conference season's coming into play and booksellers. If you want promo stuff, just email us. That was short of that one.
And thank you, Marley Matthews, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And next week we have Melissa Alvarez doing psychic readings with us and chatting, so be sure to join us.
Okay.
And that's next Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.